Hello, Mr. President.
Hi, Henry. Did you get a hold of Bill Rogers, all right?
Yes, I did. I had about a 20-minute talk with him. And
on the phone, huh?
On the phone, yeah.
Well, that probably did it.
All that he really needed. Long.
Right. So he could know, he could say, talk, fine.
Exactly.
What time did you testify tomorrow?
Ask me whether there were any surprising announcements about China. No, I didn't tell him about the liaison office.
I think that's already leaked out, though, hasn't it? I saw something.
No.
You haven't seen it? Hmm?
No.
Mm-hmm.
I just was worried that...
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's a problem that if he...
Well, he'll sure as hell leak it out if we give it to him, but...
You think he will?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's engaged in another one of his campaigns, but it makes no difference except for the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But I can...
You know, what I would do is to, in the morning, perhaps, give him a call and say that we may... Did you tell him about the communique still being worked on?
I just fussed it up. Mm-hmm. I said it won't be ready till Thursday.
Right. When will we tell him? We'll tell him all about the liaison office. It's at breakfast, I suppose.
Certainly.
Right?
And I know I don't mind telling him tomorrow afternoon. I said I'd go over there and talk to him.
Well, tomorrow afternoon, that's a good idea. Just go over and tell him that we just got this cable in, and they want to set this up. Miss Lee is in office, and that I have to prove it. Why don't you do it that way?
Right, right.
Good. I think that's the best thing. If you're concerned about it, you mean he'll leak it out in his testimony?
Well, he'll leak it out in such a way that it isn't quite a leak, but it's quite clear that...
Mm-hmm. Right, fine. Wait till tomorrow afternoon, or you might give him a call in the morning and say that we're expecting a cable or something like that, and you want to come over and set a time for tomorrow afternoon. How would that be?
Right.
That's what I do. Say we got a cable and you want to see him after his testimony tomorrow afternoon to give him a report on it, okay?
Right.
How would that be? Then I tell him so that he knows before the breakfast. That's
absolutely.
Just...
He should know it before
mm-hmm.
the breakfast.
And that way you can cover it, okay?
Right, Mr. President, but otherwise everything...
I see your point.
In good shape.
Is he all on salvo as to what the hell to answer on aid and all that sort of thing? How do you
think so? I think he's...
What'd you tell him on that? What did you tell him?
I told him that he should get strongly behind it, but that he shouldn't commit himself to either...
You tell him about the multilateral, right?
Bilateral.
Uh-huh.
He says that bilateral aid has no support in Congress.
We know that.
But that's partly because they don't understand it.
It's partly because we've always been plucking multilateral for the last, the whole establishment's hitting multilateral. Let's all do it through the United Nations and UNESCO and all that damn stuff.
It eliminates any influence we
that's
have,
right.
Even on aid to countries.
Yeah. But the point is that we should emphasize that a number of countries are going to participate, and that we know. That he should emphasize. You told him that, did you?
Told him to say that a lot of countries should participate, but the particular form in which the coordination mm-hmm. occurs
uh-huh.
will have to leave open until the program takes fuller shape.
That's good. That's good. And then what we'll have to do, really, is to work out the support for the bilateral. You see, that's where we'll get the hawks. The hawks will be for bilateral.
Bilateral.
See? And so we'll get the hawks on that. You can even sit down and even maybe we can turn a Goldwater around on that or a Buckley. I'm not sure, but we can try.
I think once we explain it to them, we have a good crack at it.
It's what the way I would get at it is to frankly take them on one by one and say, now, damn it, let's be cold turkey with you. You can't say this, but we've got to have some leverage. That if these clowns start something, we can cut it off. That's really what it gets down to.
Exactly.
I mean, suppose, for example, that they do not withdraw their forces from, like my wire to you when you were over there. If they do not withdraw their forces from Cambodia and Laos, they get no aid. Right?
Exactly.
What other leverage have we got? The purpose of this is the leverage to get them out of. I think that's a very strong point to make to them on a confidential basis, don't you think so?
I think I'm not so worried about selling the right wingers, but the conservatives, the liberals are, of course, totally corrupt morally.
I know, but what are you going to say to them?
I'll put it on humanitarian grounds to them. I don't say that's our reason, but I'll tell them that.
Well, it's also, I think for them too, I'd be a little more pragmatic. I think we'd say, look, this is the only way that we can have any leverage to keep the peace in the area. That's what they want. They should. Or then maybe they'll vote against it, huh?
Well, that's one of the problems with these people.
They don't want the peace, do they? They don't want it to keep. They just want it to fail. Is that the thing?
They basically want it to fail. That's my conclusion. But I think we can put it on a basis.
On the other hand, I think...
And not humanitarian necessarily. We could say...
If you say humanitarian, it'll look like reparations and that sort of thing.
And what we could say is we have to find something to work with the North Vietnamese on.
Give them a stake in the peace. Or just simply that what we want to do is to give the North Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese a stake in the peace.
And we can't do that.
We can't do that if we have no communication and no participation.
Exactly.
I think that's the thing.
But I think starting next week, I ought to go and I ought to see some of these senators on a...
One by one.
On a small...
Or two or three at a time, or three or four. I don't know what you can do with the media bastards, but probably nothing.
I think I can get a few of them.
God, they ought to be. Gee, God, it's just unbelievable that they... But in some way, there's got to be a streak of patriotism in the bastards.
It is.
They talk about being for peace. What the hell do they want?
Well, and if...
They really want it to blow, and they want...
They used to say, we don't care for people, and the poor people of Vietnam, they're being under our hail of bombs, and as soon as we do something for the people, they think of the American people.
I know the American people. They know damn well that our foreign aid programs have always been carried on because of our interests, not because we're simply helping people. You know that. Why the hell do we help the Romanians and the Yugoslavs and the rest? Not because we love communism, but because, God damn it, we just want to have a little leverage in there, right?
Absolutely.
And sure, we help in a flood and this and that now and then for humanitarian reasons, but you can't justify a foreign policy on that basis.
Well, certainly not with a country that has the history and the brutal behavior of the North Vietnamese.
Yeah.
We have to wean them over to a constructive pattern.
Right.
These guys have been either in prison or fighting wars all their lives. After they've done two or three years of a more positive thing, perhaps there's a chance it's going to be hard for them to start a war again. If not, it's still one of our best chances.
Well, the point is, Henry, there is nothing else.
There is exactly...
What in the hell else do they want? Do they want to bomb them?
There is nothing else.
Yeah, that's the point.
Exactly.
These people are against the bombing, so what the hell? They don't want us to use military means, so if they don't want us to use aid, then they're simply saying, okay, boys, go ahead and go on your relentless aggressive course.
Exactly.
I must say, well, it's a hard fight, but in the end, we're just going to win it.
You'll win it as you've won every other Vietnam fight, but it's amazing. As I said, I can understand the Buckleys and the Goldwaters, but I would have sworn that the Humphreys and McGoverns and company would perhaps go overboard.
I know. Remember, we thought that.
No, I was sure of it, but I was totally wrong.
Mm-hmm. And you thought the Washington Post would, and the Severides and the rest.
I thought that the liberal press,
after bleeding about these, what we've done to this poor country, would say, now, no mea culpa, let's get down and, you know, purge ourselves and aid these bastards. No. It's really a shocking thing. Well, we won't commiserate about it. The main point is that we have a tough sale to make here.
The president, let's face it, if they don't do it,
and if
the thing blows up,
we're
going to crucify them.
Well, I think they should be told that we believe that peace depends upon our having some leverage with this thing.
Exactly.
And that if they want to take the responsibility, why, that's up to them.
Exactly.
I mean, okay.
But it's an amazing situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can only repeat what I told you before, Mr. President. You were standing as a world leader. Well, as this conversation that I reported to you demonstrates is really something that perhaps even you can't realize sitting in Washington at this moment.
Well, it must have some effect there. And my guess is that deep down, the European politicians have got to be impressed, too, with it, because...
Oh, they're impressed. They just don't have the domestic structure to do anything.
That's right. That's right. I mean...
That's their problem.
Fellows like Heath and others, they know.
Well, Heath, of course, is impressed.
Yeah.
And I think they're all impressed, but the Europeans no longer think in global terms.
Nope, and they think of their domestic constituencies and their state-owned television just
beating
their brains out.
They've almost become like state governors.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, you deserve a good night's sleep. Try to get it.
The President.